Nobody needs to introduce Duncan. I think he's probably one of the guys who've been here the longest. Yeah, you have. You have been here much long time. He is a guy that I highly respect. He's a friend. I see a true Christian in him. I value his word. I value his wisdom. And I hope this morning you will see a little bit of wisdom in him and hear the word of God being opened through him. The Sunday school can go down for their meeting. Thank you.
Welcome. Just because I look old doesn't mean I've been here that long. I'm not thinking of anybody specifically here, but by definition, a hypocrite is a person whose attitudes and actions are not consistent with what they say they believe. Jesus Christ frequently labeled the religious elite of his day as hypocrites. There was a survey undertaken by the Barna Group in 2006. And in that, they measured the type of lifestyles that Americans live. The results showed that with respect to moral behaviors, there was not much difference between those claiming to be born-again Christians and those who didn't make that claim. I suspect that a similar survey today that would include Canadians would reach the same conclusion. It's a sad thing, really. The hypocrisy within Christendom is frequently used as a reason as to why people distance themselves from anything to do with Christ. The purpose of my message today is to exhort those of us who claim to be disciples of Christ to be more like Christ, so that we are seen as true disciples and not seen as hypocrites who claim to be Christians but don't live as God would have us live. It is a message to myself. Paul, in writing to the Christians in Rome, said to them, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Earlier this year, Brian Thompson prepared an excellent study guide and spoke on the subject of being trained by Jesus. If you recall, the study focused on the call of Christ to his first disciples and his training of them. And by extension, the study on the messages focused on his call and training of us who claim to follow Christ. Is it not true that training to be a disciple of Christ requires a transformation from who we were to what Christ calls us to be? In Paul points out that this transformation comes about by the renewing of our minds. The renewing of our minds is expected to be an ongoing process, even as our transformation should be. I like the t-shirt that says, "Be patient. God has not finished with me yet." God may not be finished with His disciples, yet it seems to me that if we claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, there should be clear evidence of a transformation that has taken place and is taking place. Well, what does a transformation look like? This at one time was just a raw piece of plastic. It was a raw chunk of plastic that was poured into a mold that had this pattern, and presto, the plastic conformed to the pattern and came out into this somewhat unusual shape. If you don't know what that is, I'll tell you about that later. But that's an example of a transformation. With respect to the transformation of our lives, what is the pattern we are to be poured into? Paul says, a disciple of Christ should not be molded by or conformed to the pattern of the secular world, but says when he writes to the Christians in Philippi, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Aha! Aha! The transformation of a disciple as Christ is to be from the mindset of the secular world to the mindset of Christ. Disciples with the mind of Christ will display, will they not, the character of Christ. I make a difference, as some of you know, between personality and character. I know very little about the personality of Jesus, but I know a lot about His character. And I think what is really beautiful in the diversity of God's creation is to see the character of Christ displayed in a diversity of personalities. Be who you are. Be who you are. Whether you are a type A or a type B or a type whatever personality, if you claim to be a disciple of Christ, then acquire the mind of Christ and display that through your personality. And how can we be renewing our minds and acquire the mindset of Christ? How do we pour ourselves into the pattern of Christ? Well, Christ taught with images and metaphors. And if you'll bear with me, I would like to use 5 metaphors to help us understand what it means to pattern ourselves after Christ and have His mind. First, a disciple of Christ should act like a Christian. In 1891, before my time, barely, a Charles Spurgeon, who was a well-known and a frequently quoted preacher, gave a sermon in which several times he used the phrase, "What would Jesus do?" 5 years later, in 1896, there was a novel written by Charles Sheldon. It was titled, In His Steps. And the subtitle of that novel was, What Would Jesus Do? As many of you might recall, it was in the 1990s, popular in the United States, that this question, what would Jesus do, was resurrected and inscripted on bracelets and in bumper stickers, often with just the letters, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And it was to put there to remind Christians to ask that question when faced with a decision or a situation. It was interesting to me to know that Charles Spurgeon pointed out in his sermon that that phrase, what would Jesus do, was from a book written in Latin in the 1400s. The title of that book was called The Imitation of Christ. Aha. Paul says to the Ephesians, the Christians in Ephesus, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. To act like a Christian, I need to imitate Jesus Christ. I think there's a difference, is there not, between acting and pretending? I should ask actors. But an actor, it seems to me, seeks to imitate and adopt the character of the subject being represented. A pretender tries to give the impression that something is true when in fact it's not. Hypocrites are pretenders. We are not called to pretend to be Christian, but called to act as Christians by imitating the character of Christ. What would Christ do? How would Christ act? When faced with people of low status, how did he act? Well, he touched lepers. He spoke well of Samaritans. He gave women a status. And he ate with the despised tax collectors. I might ask myself, how do I act with people of different social status or different culture or who live on the margins of our society? When Jesus was insulted, how did he act? We're told in Matthew 27 that people hurled insults at Christ. And yet Peter, who was there and saw what was going on, wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, 23, when they hurled their insults at him, he didn't retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. How do we act? How do I act in the face of insults and suffering? When humankind had done their dastardly deed and nailed Christ to the cross, how did he act? Folks, you know the words he spoke as well as I do. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. When people malign us or provoke us, or cut us off on the highway, or seek to injure us physically or emotionally? How do we act? What would Jesus do? Vince Lombardi, who was a Christian football coach in the U.S., said this. Watch your thoughts. They become your beliefs. Watch your beliefs. They become your words. Watch your words. They become your actions. Watch your actions. They become your habits. Watch your habits. They become your character. To act as a Christian, we, his disciples, need to imitate Christ and form good habits. Habits that display the character of Christ through the personality that God has given us. Second, the disciple of Christ should eat like a Christian. We know that in this church. We eat quite a bit, right? I'm not talking about that. I don't believe there's any debate over the fact that our physical bodies react and respond to what we eat. We don't need to use mice in a laboratory to tell us what happens when we feed them a diet of potato chips and Coke and stuff like that. I think the movie Super Size Me, I don't know if you saw that movie, Super Size Me, I mean, don't waste your time, but it was an interesting movie. But that movie Super Size Me showed what happens if one lives on food from McDonald's for a month. You can kind of anticipate the outcome of that. Peter, in his first letter, after challenging his readers to prepare their minds for action, goes on in chapter 2 and says this: rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. And similarly, the writer of the Hebrews and Paul and other letters challenge their readers to recognize, to progress from spiritual milk to solid food. And in doing so, they reinforce the imagery that as disciples of Christ, we should consume what helps us to grow in our salvation. Namely, the transformation of our minds. It is likely that both Paul and Peter were familiar with the words of Christ recorded in John chapter 6 when he spoke of himself as being the bread of life and said, "The one who feeds on me will live because of me." And I believe Jesus is saying we are to consume his thoughts and teachings. To extend this metaphor, I believe Jesus is saying that we are to ingest and digest the principles upon which Christ lived his life. We are to dine, as it were, where the life and the works of Christ are taught. We are to consume the thoughts and teachings of Christ. After all, folks, it's true, whether we like it or not. We are what we eat. When flamingos are born, the color of their plumage is kind of a grayish color. But after a diet of carotene-rich food, their plumage turns to that very familiar and distinctive color of bright pink. And so it is that our mindset is also colored by what we watch and read. You know, we're often perhaps careful to read the labels on tins and packages of food to guard against ingesting ingredients that might cause us to be, quote, off color. But perhaps we're not too careful to read the labels on what we watch and read. What we watch read and listen to that is produced by a secular society will promote a secular mindset. And in this regard, and I don't want to sound prudish, but in this regard, I most certainly appreciate the insights of Paul when he wrote to the Philippians. That was the Corinthians. And this is what he pointed out. He said, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. All things don't edify us. You and I can consume whatever we want, but we may not be consuming what we need in order to have the mindset of Christ. Third, to have the mindset of Christ, we are challenged to speak like a disciple of Christ. In Matthew 26, we're given the account of the arrest and trial of Christ. It's very interesting. Peter hangs out in the background, as you know, but he's challenged by a servant girl as being one of Christ's disciples. He denies it. A little while later, another girl comes along and says the same thing. He denies this again, somewhat vehemently. Finally, a number of people come to him and approach him and say, surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. Peter was from Galilee and spoke with a Galilean accent. But Jesus Christ was also from Galilee. And Peter spoke with the accent of Christ. Paul says to the Colossians, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. Christ spoke in love, but he spoke in truth. And if we are to pattern our lives after Christ, we also need to speak in love and truth. Do we speak with a Christian accent? Or with the voice of one who belongs to a different kingdom? I think we all know, hey, we're bombarded with profanity and vulgarity on the streets, in the schools, increasingly on the entertainment screens, to the point where subconsciously we may well be assimilating the language of our contemporary society. And then, based on my own experience, if we're not careful, in an unprotected moment, we blurt out some words or an off-color comment that associates us not with Christ, but with the people and the spirit of the world that crucified him. How much better for someone to say about you and I, you're different. You must be a Christian because what you say or don't say gives you away. Fourth, the image we can extract from Scripture to help us understand what it means to have the mindset of Christ is that we should dress as Christians. Now, I'm not suggesting we should wear camel hair coats and sandals and carry a staff. Nor am I going to be so bold as to suggest what you should wear to church or what you should wear to the beach. That's nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Rather, read the words of Paul to the Romans. Let us behave decently. As in the daytime, not in orgies, drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves, dress yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's quite a picture. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of your sinful nature. As you know, we have this rather strange custom, Halloween, where once a year kids come to the doors dressed in costumes, clothes representing the likeness of a pirate or an animal or some alien creature. And each of these kids has made a deliberate effort to acquire an image other than their own. Jesus Christ died a sacrificial death to give us a new nature, a new image, and to provide for us what the prophet Isaiah refers to as a garment of salvation. Wow. Through faith in Christ, Scripture informs us that God no longer sees the tattered rags of the immoral secular nature, but rather for those of us who believe, God sees us clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Wow. Christ has acquired and provided for believers an image that is not our own. Through Christ, God sees in us the image of Christ. However, the challenge is for us as disciples of Christ is to wear the garb that Christ wants us to wear, to be dressed like Christ. The style and cut of our life should not be the philosophical and value-based fashions of the world, but rather the values and attitudes that are characteristic of Jesus Christ. The fabric of a disciple of Christ should not be cut to the pattern of the secular, athletic, or entertainment superstar, but cut to the pattern of Christ. As disciples of Christ, it may be wise, would it not, to check ourselves out in the mirror once in a while and see how we're doing on this mind-renewing transformation. How is it coming along? Folks, maybe that's what we're doing this morning. Fifth and finally, if we have the mindset of Christ, we should smell like a Christian. Ever think of that? Seems strange? But Paul says to the Corinthians, "For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." It is important to note that Paul indicates that disciples of Christ are to become an aroma of Christ to God, to other Christians, and to non-Christians. And without belaboring this image too much, let me make a couple of points by way of illustration. Years ago, I think many of us had the experience of being in a smoke-filled room or in a smoke-filled airplane. And in spite of not smoking, we carried the aroma of smoke with us for many hours. In fact, come home, hang up the jacket in the closet, next morning it smelled like smoke. It was a smell, an aroma that we acquired, not from smoking, but from being with others who did. And so by illustration, my first point is we acquire the aroma of Christ by patterning our lives after Christ, by spending time with Him and absorbing His values, His principles, and His attitudes. And what is this aroma of Christ that is pleasing to God and noticed by those around us? It is the aroma of love. It's the aroma of seeing parents loving their children. It's the aroma of us loving one another. It's the aroma of us loving our neighbors. And yes, as taught and demonstrated by Christ, It is the aroma of us loving even our enemies. The aroma of Christ is the aroma of forgiveness. At times it's not easy to forgive. But when forgiveness is extended, it has a Christ-like air about it. The aroma of Christ is the aroma of servanthood, where rather than fighting our way to the top, we adopt the attitude of Christ and are willing to fight our way to the bottom to serve others, as He did. The aroma of Christ is the aroma of humility, where if we are to boast at all, it's not to boast about ourselves, but to boast about what God has done for us and in us. The aroma of Christ is the aroma of self-sacrifice, generosity, where time, materials, and money are given to those in need. In closing, and by way of another illustration to make my second point, we recently moved into an apartment building that has an elevator. One morning, when coming down in the elevator, a well-dressed man got on and stood near me. I've noticed you can't help but stand near people in elevators. But what was distinctive about this man was his smell. I think, really, he had taken a shower in his aftershave lotion. Not just any lotion, but one with a very distinctive yet very pleasant odor. Some days later, I boarded the elevator to go up to our condo. This time I was the only one in the elevator. But in there was a distinctive aroma of aftershave. I knew the smell, and I knew right away who had been in the elevator before me. My second point is this, that we should not only carry the aroma of Christ with us, but also we should leave the aroma of Christ behind us. Our homes, our businesses, our relationships, our church should have the aroma of the mindset, spirit, and characteristics of Jesus Christ our Lord. May God, through His Spirit, give us the desire, the diet, and the discipline to have the mind of Christ. Let's pray. Holy God, our Father, help us to act on the instructions of Christ. Help us to feed on the example of Christ. Help us to speak with the wisdom of Christ. Help us, our God and Father, to dress with the dignity of Christ. And help us, above all, to carry the aroma of Christ. And may your peace, which transcends all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. May the aroma of Christ surround us and follow us throughout this week. We ask this in the name of our Rabbi, our teacher, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.